Okay.
This is Paul Fussy. I just heard someone dial in.
Yeah, that was Burrington again. I somehow got on the disconnected, so I
call
back in.
No worries, Captain. So on the phone, I've got Mr. Whalen, Mr. Boyd, Captain Barrington, myself, Mary, and who else? Is Mr. Tim Thomas on the phone? Yep, just dropped off of there. Okay, run there. We're recording.
Thank you very much, Paul. This is John Rockwell. Thank you all for being patient with us going through our technical difficulties. And at this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Mary, we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum. We have on the phone, we have Assistant Federal Security Director Bradley Whalen, Captain Gina Burrington, Assistant Chief Alex Boyd. In the room, we have Colonel Nicholas DeAngelis, David Reed, John Rockwell, Nicholas Fanistock, Paul Fussy, Timothy Woodall, and myself. Oh, and Scott Stormont. Sorry, Scott.
Thank you very much, Mary. Unfortunately, Deputy Commissioner Leon Morgan was unable to join us, and so he asked me to chair the meeting. At this time, I'd like to ask if everybody had a chance to see the meeting minutes. I know we have a lot of new folks, and so before I ask for a motion for the meeting minutes, I would like for some of the new folks to introduce themselves, and if I could start with Colonel Nicholas DeAngelis.
Hello, everybody. Nice to meet you in person, virtually. I'm taking over for Colonel Tim Meerstein as the ALCOM and ANR J6 on JBear, and I work with Mr. Woodall, and excited to be part of the group.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. And Captain Burrington, Gina, if you could introduce yourself.
Captain Gina Burrington with Anchorage Police Department, and this is my first meeting, so I'm looking forward to figuring it all out with you.
Well, thank you very much, Gina. Are there any opening statements or other announcements at this time? Hearing none, I would like to move, or actually I would like to ask for someone to move to approve the meeting minutes of April 18th.
Paul, this is Brett Whalen. I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, sir. And if I can have a second?
I second that motion for the meeting.
Thank you, Colonel. Are there any questions, comments, concerns regarding the meeting minutes? Hearing none, I approve the meeting minutes. The first order of business is continuing on with old business. Under old business, item A is the State Interoperability Governing Body, or SIGBI, and that has been tabled. The April meeting minutes, Deputy Commissioner Barlow presented the subject, and I noted that it was still tabled, and at this time it will probably be tabled for quite a few months. The SIGBE is the State Interoperability Governing Body, and what the concept is, or was, is to put everything connected to interoperable communications underneath it. So that would be ALMR, that would be the 911 system, that would be GIS support for those systems. Originally, Governor Walker signed the AO to establish it, but since it was not clear with the current administration, they canceled that, and so we're just working with them to get that back. Moving on to the next agenda item, which is the long-term cost share solution. And again, there's no update on that item at this point. Are there any questions or comments? Does anybody have other ideas?
For the new people,
well, so. Thank you very much, Tim. The background on that is we've been searching for a methodology to support ALMR long-term. Currently, it is mostly funded through GF, and then capital asks for large projects. Every time we go to the legislator, we ask for more money, and they go, well, wait a minute, didn't we just give you money, for that? And they go, well, that was for something else, right? So what we're working with the chief of staff and other entities is to come up with either another, and I don't want to use the word tax, but fee, to be able to sustain the cost of ALMR. So we can not worry about going, keep on going back and getting, capital asks. I know that some of the things that we've talked about before is what Motorola calls SUA, S-U-A, and basically that is your ongoing maintenance that includes hardware and upgrades for that. And in the next executive board meeting, we'll be getting a presentation from Motorola to describe the details of that. And I'm sure Paul will go into more detail when it's his turn. Moving on to C, fiduciary responsibility documentation. Tim, do you have any updates for that?
Yeah, the fiduciary responsibility approach is related to the primary infrastructure owners, those who own the radio towers primarily. That would be the state of Alaska, the Department of Defense, and the municipality of Anchorage. The responsibility of those agencies to fund and sustain the infrastructure that they have has always been an expectation. It is summarily addressed in the cooperative agreement, but because we have over the time period experienced some issues related to people executing their responsibilities effectively and timely, we thought it was a good idea to move towards a fiduciary agreement or an agreement that deals with the financial responsibilities of the primary parties, the signatories to the Alaska Land Mobile Radio Cooperative. In doing so, we reached out to the Air Force staff at the national level and the Army staff at the national level who run the Community Partnership Program. The Community Partnership Program is a program that was passed by Congress back in 2013 that authorizes federal, state, and local government agencies to share infrastructure, share contracts, and to do so under an interagency government support agreement. So they own that process, so we've reached out to them, and they are doing the coordination at the Air Force and Army levels to get that part of it documented. It will then come to the state of Alaska to go through their legal processes and put any terminology and requirements that they have within the agreement, then it'll go to the municipality of Anchorage, also another infrastructure owner, to provide their input. When it's all done, it would be signed by the main parties and would be an addendum to the standing cooperative and mutual aid agreement that was signed by the major parties, infrastructure owner parties, that the state of Alaska Department of Defense and this government. And there is nothing more to report at this time. It is at the national level. They are working on it. We expect them to get back with us here to give us an update on that sometime in early August. We should have a meeting with them to bring us up to date as to where they are. So.
Thank you very much, Mr. Woodall. Are there any questions for Tim regarding this topic? Hearing none, the next topic is regarding radio inventory. Paul, do you have any updates to the radio inventory that we're creating? And do you want to maybe give a little background on why we're doing it?
Yep, I'd be happy to, Mr. Rockwell. So for the new people in the group, December 31st, 2026, all radios on the system have to be TDMA, a phase two TDMA. Right now, a lot of the radios are FDMA. So when we're building out the system here, going to TDMA, we're going to double the available channels on the system. So for instance, if we have a tower that right now is a three channel site, one channel is a control channel, only two people can talk in that tower at a time. Once we go to TDMA, then we'll be gonna double the capacity, four people can talk on there. So what I've been doing is going and reaching out to all the individual members and sending them emails and double checking to see where they're at in the progress of updating their radios. And recently, at the request of the state OMB and the user council chair, I've been sending out forms to all the state agencies, local municipals, requesting an accurate count of all their radios that are TDMA or need upgrade. Need upgrade means they're a TDMA radio, but they need a flash or software upgrade to become TDMA. And then anyone that need to be replaced, which are FDMA radios. And so far, 114 emails have been sent out to the agencies, and I've only received 20 responses. So it's a struggle on that one, but we're going to go back out. The cutoff date for that is August 9th, so I'll be reaching out to all those agencies again. So that's the crux of where we're at, trying to make sure that everybody is putting in money to get the upgrade and money for the radios. And there recently was a grant that was fire department centric through Alaska Municipal League, and 25 fire departments joined that grant to get money for radios. So that's where we're at. So this will stay on the old business for the Executive Council up until December 31st, 2026.
Thank you very much, Paul. And before I ask if there are any questions for Paul regarding this topic, I would like to make one clarification. And that is that when Paul said that all radios have to be TDMA capable, we do have the option and infrastructure to have non-TDMA radios work on the system after that date. That we are not going to be going to the legislative body, for example, and saying the system is going to crash if everybody does not have a TDMA radio. We know that there are some limitations that other individuals have. I mean, I always use the Kinney Lake Fire Department as an example, where, you know, they don't have funding. You know, they don't even have money for gas necessarily for their vehicles. So I do understand that they've also taken advantage of some of the granting, as well as they're doing some other work for other state agencies to secure some of the funding. But there are some small areas that are unable to at this time. And so again, just to clarify, the upgrade date that we set, that we are strongly encouraging, is December of 2026, the end of December of 2026. Most of you that have FDMA radios, the radios are already 15 years old or so. And so again, strong encouragement to take advantage of whatever funding mechanism you can. But I don't wanna have anybody misunderstand the fact that if for some reason you cannot upgrade, first of all, please work with us. But your radios will still be able to work for a period of time after that date. And again, I just hope to clarify that. And thank you, Paul, for, you know, the update. Are there any questions for Paul regarding this topic? Hearing none, the next topic on the agenda is regarding the BDA at the Rabanowitz Courthouse up in Fairbanks. In the last meeting, Deputy Commissioner Barlow said that he was pretty sure that he's going to be able to obtain funding for that. It's in the $375,000 realm for that. But unfortunately, that has not happened yet. The state of Alaska is, you know, transferring budget years, and along with that, a lot of discussion regarding budgets have come up. And so we are still working that issue. We understand the need, but unfortunately we're unable to support it at that time. Any questions regarding Fairbanks?
I do have a comment. In the last meeting, it was, it will relate back to the TDMA as well, but since we're addressing BDA, I think Motorola attended the last meeting, and there was a question about those people that have bidirectional amplifier equipment for in-building coverage. Would they need to upgrade that equipment somehow to facilitate TDMA emission levels over FDMA, which they're currently programmed in? I don't know that we got an answer on that. Nick, are you tracking that? So that if so, then we need to add that to what we're, I know we're communicating to people that they need to upgrade their subscribers and their mobile units and their consulates that they have to be able to do so. If TDMA is also a question that we need to address, and if TDMA needs to be, our BDA needs to be updated to operate TDMA or communicate TDMA, and TDMA radios communicate through it, then that would be a clarification as soon as possible, as people would have to work that into their financing, their budgeting processes.
Right, so BDAs, and I believe every manufacturer is probably going to handle it a little differently than others, but I would highly anticipate that they would need to be upgraded in one form or fashion. We're not talking about just a general, you know, garbage in, garbage out type of amplifier. It's a very specific type of waveform and emission. The difference between FDMA and TDMA, so that's definitely suspect.
Be different antennas and different
absolutely
transmitter within the BDA process.
But again, every manufacturer might be different. Maybe they accounted for that, and it's a matter of just flipping a switch or something, but I would still definitely check in on it.
So, Paul, are you addressing that in sending out to the BDA owners the need to?
I have not. I can reach out there, Mr. Woodall. So I have been talking to State Fire Marshal, Deputy Fire Marshal, and then also Bart Meinhardt, the Fire Marshal for the City of Anchorage, on where they're at and who owns them. So I'm still working on that process because there's some that are out there that we're not aware of, especially down in Kenai Peninsula. There's a couple that I've recently heard about, so I'm trying to track down the owners of them before I can contact them.
All right.
I can think of one running through the Whittier
Tunnel. Yeah, the Whittier Tunnel. So I talked to the fire chief there, Mike Sweet, for the Anderson Tunnel. He's supposed to get the information back to me. And then Casey Cook with the Valley for the one up Menard.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next topic is regarding the Motorola Operations Services Contract. Scott or Tim, do you have any updates on that?
Other than the fact that we met with Motorola kind of talking about SUA, and that may or may not factor in because it is purchasing those capital requirements, or that SUA thing is available through our current contract. So as we do a follow-on contract, that information that we heard would need to be incorporated in that. But we have not yet gathered different DOD reps with the state reps to kind of put together the initial requirements for what we're doing going forward. So,
no. Do you have a timeline when the contract statement of work process will begin?
It can begin this quarter. Procurement has not felt we were really there yet, but I think we can get started on it this quarter, so we can try to get it moving through the fall.
And just for those that are new on the Executive Council, can you let them know the period of performance for the existing contract and when we would have to have a new contract in place?
The last option year for the existing contract would end on June of 26. So we would, and that's the last year of a 10-year effort, so we would need a new one in place before that.
Are there any options to extend that for 6 months should we run into any award issues? Do you know if that's...
Should be able to if there's... The state has the ability to do that if it has to happen. But don't really anticipate that happening at the moment.
And this will not be a sole source. This will be a competed approach.
And that is not necessarily known yet as to which avenue would end up happening.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Tim, for the qualifying questions. I'm sure that when we use acronyms like BDAs and we mention the contracts and, you know, especially new people, it's like, which one? And it's like, yeah, I know what a contract is, but what are we talking about here? Are we talking about, you know, software or hardware or both or support services? And in a way, we're talking about everything I just mentioned, by the way. That the contract that we currently have is with Motorola and subbed with Bering Straits Technologies, or BSET, to be able to support and maintain some of the infrastructure and software, as well as they manage the help desk. And Nick, if you wanted to add some other things that you're doing on the contract.
All the help things. Support,
all, everything.
the maintenance of the RF sites, the master sites,
but it's just the Motorola equipment.
Yeah.
Right.
Security of the systems, I mean, it's I don't want to get too deep into it, but yeah, that it's a lot of things. Subscriber requests, right. Adding, removing, et cetera.
Right. And again, as Scott mentioned, it's for the Motorola side. So if you walk into like the master site, right? You'll see 6-7 racks, and basically two racks are dedicated to the Motorola push-to-talk radio side. The other things too, I saw Nick make a face, so
well,
I paused.
Not the master site, but an RF site.
Or an RF site, right. Sorry. But there are a lot of parts and pieces to this. Everything from batteries to generators to powers to, you know, all that needs to be maintained and supported and, you know, all that. So. Nick, you're doing a great job, you and your team, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
But he doesn't, to the point is, they don't climb towers, they don't cut the brush, they don't plow the road to get to the site, they don't test your batteries, change your batteries, refuel your generator, show up if your generator doesn't start. That is the infrastructure owner, so the city of Anchorage has staff that takes care of their sites. The state of Alaska has not enough staff to take care of its sites. And the DOD has even less staff, I think, than the state of Alaska has to take care of their sites. So,
but we are all one team, one fight.
Yeah.
If I can't help you with something, I will find someone that can.
Good point. Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions regarding the contract and what it supports and what the time frame is? Hearing none, the next agenda item is regarding the Tudor Road electrical work. Scott, do you have any update on that? And if you could explain what that is too.
So this building has needed a power upgrade, and it is not gone as straightforward as the proposal initially was. Now it sounds like Chugach Electric, but it sounds like Chugach Electric has said they have to change out our transformer. So that's kind of paused some work on it for the moment, because we're changing out the battery plants for the master site to make sure it's got a rock solid backup system. It's not looking like Chugach Electric is going to be able to get this on the schedule this year, so this could get pushed off to next year. But we'll end up with a new transformer, some new power systems at the building just to modernize the electrical system here and put power in places where we need it but currently don't have it. So the intent is there would be no downtime or impact to ALMR. It would be planned to not have that happen. So if anything did happen, it wasn't the plan. So we're working to make sure that doesn't intentionally and even accidentally happen.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. And I know that the planning on this has been going on for quite a while. Also, I want to thank some of the other infrastructure owners that have offered to bring over generators and different pieces of equipment to help support. So thank you very much, Tim. All right. We can move on to the next major topic for the meeting, and that's the user council update. This is John Rockwell speaking, and I don't have much of an update for this meeting. The main focus has been around the FDMA, the TDMA upgrades, as well as the system support that we have, how we would like to grow it, how we're going to fund it, how we're going to encourage everybody to make sure that they meet that upgrade timeline. And as far as the council itself, I believe we still have open positions. Mary, do you recall what they are?
Only one. And that is Fish and Wildlife, where Robert Reddington retired. Okay. That's the only open chair
that we have.
Yep.
Yeah, everything else has been built.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much for the update on that as well. Any questions regarding the user council? And if not, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Fussy, Operations Management Office.
Thanks, Mr. Rockwell. So Dan Nelson, with his training and outreach, he finished up the July's training video. That's regulations and requirements, and that focuses on if someone loses a radio, how they report it, and how they keep track of it. So folks that are new to the executive council, Dan Nelson lives down in Kenai, but works for Wassman and works here in the operations management office. He creates training vignettes, usually 5 to 6 minutes long, and they're on the Alaska Land Mobile Radio website. You can go on there and take a look. So every month we put another training video on. And what we get the topic from is we do outreach and talk to the different agencies they let us know what they're interested in or what they want to see more training on. So that's why we do that one there. So that one's been completed, and that should be on the website here by the end of the week. For outreach, Mary's sending out the reminder emails for membership agreement signatures, and as they're coming in, then I'm signing where I need to, or Mr. Stormo, or anybody else that needs to on there. But keep in mind, as they're coming through, the membership agreements are good for 1 year. And so if you have one from Mary, make sure to sign it and get it back. And we understand every agency operates a little bit differently when their individual is in. I know some of the borough meetings are coming up here next month, and then the borough mayor will sign the paperwork. So we understand that happens. But if you have it sitting on your desk, please sign the membership agreements and get them back there. So right now we still have 24 members that we have not heard from that we're working on. The membership agreements with the cost share amounts have been paid by the DOD, and we're just awaiting a few other signatures. But Terry from the APSCS office came over and let me know that the DOD members have sent in their invoices already for this year. So as we look at the project status update, right now the Motorola team continues to install Juniper routers in anticipation for the TDMA around the state. There are only three left for the state sites, and then there's only 10 left for the DOD sites. That's not counting the different dispatch centers. We're talking just RF sites right there. And right now, the upgrade is expected to be completed sometime around September, and that's after they've done all their testing to make sure that everything is TDMA capable as they go through there. Nick's office has been working really diligently going out and doing PMIs. They've completed 20 PMIs for July, and those include both drivable and helicopter sites. There were a couple other RF towers they're going to try and get to, but with the weather we've been having with the rain and fog, they just were unable to. Working with Jeremy Rose for Motorola, and who's in charge of the DOD sites over on J-Bear. So the CE squadron went over to the R1 North site, inspected it for the battery replacement, and the civil engineering squadron told the PWICs that they can complete the project. So Jeremy's keeping me up to date on that one. So the CE is working to get a quote to replace the batteries, and also for the work that's still being done for the building generator connection. So right now, there's a few issues the way the generator set up to the R1 North site, but civil engineering squadron is working with PWIC to fix that issue. So what we'll do is we'll take a look at the June metrics. I do not have the July yet, because obviously July is still going on, and we pull these numbers at the end of every month. So we look at our month and group calls. We had 1,576,633 calls for this month, which is higher than May. A little bit less than last year, but still a robust system. Our monthly push-to-talks, we had 2,588,765 push-to-talks. And our monthly busies, we had 856, but we started looking at the push-to-talks and the total call systems on there. We were only at 0.0005% busy. So with the amount of calls that we're getting in push-to-talks, we do get a few busies in there, but it's negligible for the amount that we do have. And our sites below 3.9s, it dropped, excuse me, to 11 this month. And as we go to the next slide, you'll see why. And like I said, Scott and his team and Nick and his team have been doing a lot of PMIs, so that drops it down there. So we start looking at the PMIs. We have Haynes, Hope, Lion's Head, Saddle, Sitka, Skagway, Summit, Sunahay, Walcott. If you look and direct the attention to Pillar Mountain and Woman's Bay, we had some issues with the microwave configuration, so Scott's team has done a phenomenal job going out to Kodiak, because both those sites are on Kodiak, And once we're having issues with them, the troopers and police and fire in those areas can only talk locally. They couldn't be dispatched out of Fairbanks. So Chief Putney from Kodiak PD was kind enough that the folks, troopers and the other entities, through an MOU, were using their dispatch. So they're being dispatched out of Kodiak itself. But Scott's team got parts out on the ferry, sent teams and trucks out on the ferry, and were able to go in and replace the microwave site. So that is now back up, and now everything's running through Fairbanks dispatch again for the folks out in Kodiak, and they're able to rekey their radios and everything else. So that was down for about a week due to weather issues and water. I don't know if you want to add on to that, Scott. I'm going to put you on the slide on that one.
No, not on that one, but I'll put you on the spot on a previous slide or two. We just the push to talks in general, when we were looking at those, the numbers as we do all the math each year for the talk time, we were noticing that some of the larger agencies like the troopers and possibly the dispatch centers were push to talks were down significantly. And you spoke with the troopers, at least in particular, and maybe the FBI or somebody else, that we noticed a big change, and there was actually a good explanation for it. But I think, I don't know if we've ever pointed that out to the community as to those numbers are lower, and it's not a miscalculation in our count. It's actually some procedures have changed. That's
I'll be happy to talk on that.
Let's let you talk about that.
So we started looking at the numbers. As you can see, it's dropped quite a bit from last year. We're down about 400,000 push-to-talks. So we started looking at the numbers, Scott, Nick, and I, and as operations manager, I started reaching out to these different agencies and talking to them. I'm not going to go into specific numbers, but Department of Public Safety in particular, they're down a lot of positions. And because of that, it changed how they did some of their patrols. And also the Chugach National Forest, their numbers were down quite a bit. They have quite a bit of vacancies also. And then you start looking at the state parks. So I reached out to their manager over there. They have another entity that has a large number of vacancies. So they've just had a bunch of recruits graduate from the academy, which will boost up their numbers. But because of that large vacancy, obviously you don't have as many people. They're not going to talk on the radio as much. Also, state parks did issue a radio to all their campground hosts. They don't do that anymore. So you're looking at, I think they said 25 to 30 campground hosts that no longer have radios too. So that's going to count for the numbers that are dropping. The agencies have a large number of vacancies, and with the large number of vacancies, there's going to be less radio traffic on there. So it's not that the system can't handle it. The system can handle it and more. It's just, it's nationwide. Agencies have vacancies. So that's what is driving those numbers down on that one.
And wasn't there some procedures that the troopers were changing and not being...
Yeah, I didn't want to go into too much detail on there, but yeah, they because of large vacancies, they've changed how they do some things. So
they're not pushed in the talk, I think, to give as much like administrative type information as they would have done in the past. So
yeah, so. But that's the any questions on the metrics or the slides?
And just one other comment about the number of busies. Our busies problems is not generally a system-wide problem. It's an area-wide problem. So if there's a wildfire, if there's an accident on the highway, so you can look at those numbers and think that's not a lot of busies. Why go to TDMA? But it's really what it's trying to do is not solve a system-wide, you know, percentage of vacancies. It's trying to solve the challenge of, you know, wildfire in some area or accident on a highway somewhere that completely busies out that site, or an exercise that the DOD is doing up around Donley Dome area. This will go a long ways towards remediating those site type issues, and, you know, short of trying to find extra frequencies to do extra channels and adding channels, we'd have to add them at every site. This is a much more efficient and modern way to increase our talk channel capacity at those locations. So most of the systems around the state or around the country, are going TDMA, or if they're purchased new, they are TDMA. So we're just kind of modernizing to that flavor of system as we've gone through this last upgrade.
So the last part is the other items. So the monthly security check I completed on July 15th, and that's required every month for the off-site inspection on there. So that was completed on July 15th by myself. And also the Alaska Land Mobile Radio Insider Newsletter was completed, sent out July 15th. So with our newsletter, that is posted on our website, and then it's printed out in a hard copy sent to every legislature down in Juneau and D.C. So that was completed on July 15th, and that goes out quarterly, and you can go on to ALMR website and see that the current newsletter and all previous ones on there. So that ends my report. Mr. Rockwell, pending any questions.
Thank you very much, Paul. Are there any questions for Mr. Fussy? Hearing none, the next item on the agenda would be new business. There's none listed, so I would like to open the floor for any new business items you would like to bring up. I'm looking around the conference room here in Anchorage, and I see none. How about on the phones? Any new business?
None in the chat.
Okay. And since the floor is open, are there any comments or questions from anyone? Hearing none, the next meeting is currently scheduled for October 17th at 1:30 p.m. here at the Alaska Public Safety Communication Services Conference Room or on Teams. So at this time, I would entertain a meeting to adjourn.
So motion to Alex Boyd.
Thank you, sir. And may I have a second?
I second the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Colonel. At this time, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Good job. Oh,
hold on.